Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined by Matthew Brodsky. He is a very active contributor to what I think of as the national security policy debate in his role as a senior Middle East analyst at Wikistrat. He has in the past been involved with the Jewish Policy Center, the American Foreign Policy Council, Haaretz, and more. We are delighted whenever we get a chance to pick his brains about developments in his area of expertise, the Middle East, and this is one of those occasions. Matt Brodsky, welcome back. It is so good to have you with us.
Great to be with you.
You've recently written a piece, Matt, that I thought was most interesting about the debate that has taken place, or not, as the case may be, about the president's decision to not certify that Iran is in compliance with the what I think of as the Obama bomb deal, and that it's in our interest, two rather important, you know, qualities of the deal. You note that there's been a lot of discussion in the sort of right on this, but not so much in the circles on the left. Tell us a little bit about your current thinking about the deal, what the president has done, and why is it that we're not seeing a similar kind of conversation taking place on the left about the merits of the Obama bomb deal and where we go from here?
Well, for a while, there has been a debate that we've known about on the right, and that's been between those who wanted to walk away from the deal and those that wanted to fix the deal. President Trump, I believe, made the right move by decertifying the nuclear agreement, and whether the path to try to fix it and tighten up the key areas that are missing, such as verifications, the ballistic missiles program, and the sunset clauses, which just need to be scrapped to begin with, whether that can come to pass, we'll see in the future. But that debate on the right has more or less taken place, and the president is going along the path to fix it. And there have been a number of developments in that area. On the left, however, it's a lot more of a convoluted process that took place to get the deal passed to begin with under Obama. And there hasn't been a debate. There's been the regurgitation of stale talking points, which at this point are verifiably false, even if the agreement itself is not verifiable. And so you've had the creation of an echo chamber to begin with, this vanguard, a group that saw in Iran the desire for the United States basically to strategically reorient ourselves and to boost Iran in the region as we withdrew. And Iran was seen as a far more capable and cohesive group than the Sunni governments that we were working with in the Middle East. So it would be better if they were to inherit the Middle East as we withdrew. And so what happened was they created the echo chamber that we all know about by now from Ben Rhodes and newly minted experts who began popping up at think tanks and saying that they, basically wholesale lying about what was going to be in the agreement and what the agreement meant and on a whole set of issues. They have not really updated these talking points at this point. They created a large camp of believers. So in the meantime, there hasn't been on the left a great desire to work with those on the right who want to fix the deal because they're still stuck believing all these stale talking points that are still going on inside their head, even though, again, they're verifiably wrong.
Matt, could I put it slightly differently? It sounds to me as though what you've described is we were hustled into believing that there was a deal here that was worth a damn. And the people who perpetrated that, Ben Rhodes, the Obama team more generally, and the Plowshares Fund, and as you say, the whole echo chamber that these guys conjured up, the NIAC, the North American Iranian Council, and the like, perpetrated a fraud, and they're reluctant to acknowledge that they did, even though, as you say, it's proven to be demonstrably so. I must tell you, I'm with the Nixit group rather than the Fix-It group. I don't think there's going to be any fixing it. But just quickly, Matt, the administration is now talking about a very aggressive inspection regime to try to help make it less defective. I would be very interested in your thoughts as to whether that's got a snowball's chance in hell with the team in Tehran, let alone the the others in the so-called Perm 5 plus 1.
Right. Well, okay. So it certainly was a good sign that that Congress sent a letter to the UN, to Nikki Haley, and that they're trying to create this much stronger verifications regime that that will look into the military sites, which is hugely important. I mean, Iran has a long history of running parallel organizations, whether it has to do with its own army and then the IRGC, whether it has to do with a Lebanese government and their army and then the Hezbollah. So they've done the same thing with a military program that works on nukes and a civilian program that works on nukes. And they can just change the signs however they'd like and avoid the inspections. That's a great sign. As far as the snowball's chance in hell is concerned, there are many opportunities for this snowball to melt. I mean, you can have the greatest inspections regime that you would like during the course of the deal, but if it still has a sunset at the end, then it doesn't matter in however many years it is on that specific item. So it is absolutely, to use a Rumsfeldian line, a long slog to get to the to where the deal could actually be fixed.
If indeed there's any will to fix it on the other part of the other parties. Hey, Matt, before we run out of time, let me quickly ask you about two related points. One is, you've been warning for some time, I think, about this Shiite crescent, the so-called land bridge between Iran and the Mediterranean that it now seems to be putting into place under pretty much its control. I'm interested in your thoughts strategically about that as a development, what it might mean for Israel, particularly as Iranians and Hezbollah and their Syrian military and other proxies are now edging closer and closer to the red lines that the Israelis have laid down. And lastly, to talk quickly, if you would, about Kurdistan and the fact that it seems to be game over for an important set of our allies in the region.
I'll take the last one first. In Kurdistan, I think they overplayed their hand, Barzani did, and especially he thought that the United States would have his back or the Kurds' back, and that didn't happen. Now you're seeing fracturing or a continued fracturing along fissure lines that have long existed. The outlook for them and any form of independence looks more grim today than it did a month ago. As far as the Shiite crescent is concerned, the larger thing that I'm looking at right now with interest is how the rules of the game are changing between Israel and Hezbollah. Israel had a free rein to attack what it saw from shipments from Iran going to Hezbollah in Syria for a while, especially since 2011, the civil war in Syria. That changed in 2015 when Russia got involved, and then most of their attacks had to take place south of Homs, because Iran knew that, and so did Hezbollah. They tried to keep transfers north of that line under the Russian air umbrella. Going forward, as the war wears down, you're seeing Assad become a bit more forward in the way he's willing to respond to Israel. What is the recalibration of what Israel can hit without getting a too strong of a response from either Assad, Hezbollah, or Iran before a war would erupt? That is a major concern for Israel. And the United States right now does not seem to have a large care for how that all develops. I think the United States is very much involved in Iraq policy. Many aspects of it when it comes to Iraq are boneheaded, in my opinion. But this whole Syrian policy pretty much flows from the Iraq policy and our ISIS policy and is not forward-looking on Iran. That's a problem.
Well, I couldn't agree more. In fact, I think this has been almost single-mindedly focused on the ISIS campaign and the repercussions of the vacuum of power that's been created as a result, and the fact that the Iranians are happily filling it is going to cause us problems for many, many years to come. Matt Brodsky, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. Thank you so much for joining us. Check out more of Matt's work at his Twitter handle, at RJ Brodsky, also at Wikistrat. It's great to talk with you, sir. Next up, we'll speak with Jessica Vaughn of the Center for Immigration Studies on some of the more contentious developments on that front. Right after this.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.